Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 if you have a Bible. If you do not have a Bible but have the Bible app on your phone, we do have all of the verses in order for you there, so to make it easy. But if you open up the Bible app on your phone, click in the bottom right-hand corner, and then it'll go to events. Then click on events, and then you'll see Restoration Church there as well. You'll be able to see all of the verses that we have for this morning. We are starting, last week we started in this space, just a conversation, kind of studying Scripture, and specifically around the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What role does the Holy Spirit play in our lives? And last week we journeyed through the whole book of Acts and highlighted four different stories. Places when the believers were together, when they were worshiping together, when they were seeking the Lord together. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell on that room. And all of a sudden they were speaking in languages that they hadn't studied, and they were speaking in languages known that day. And people would hear the word of God in their own language. Fast forward to Acts chapter 8, and the gospel is going forth, and people are running for their lives. Followers of Jesus are being persecuted. And there's one man named Philip, and he goes to Samaria, and he preaches the gospel, and signs and wonders follow, and lives are transformed, and it says there was much joy in that city because of Jesus. And I think, what a vision, like, for the gospel just to go forth and enter into a city. All of a sudden, Jesus brings joy into people's lives, and peace into people's lives. And it says that in Acts 8, the apostles, Peter and John, came because they heard that the gospel had gone to Samaria. And there they prayed for believers to receive the Holy Spirit, and something happened. All of a sudden, they were speaking in tongues, and there was fire that had fallen, just like in Acts 2. Fast forward to Acts 10. There's a guy named Cornelius, who is a leader in his community, a military officer. He's a devout man who's been praying, seeking the Lord. He gets a vision, and he's told to send for this guy named Peter, who's in Joppa, and he sends some guys to go get Peter, and Peter comes, and he says, "You know that I shouldn't be here because I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile, but the Lord has told me to come." And there Peter shares the gospel with Cornelius and his whole family, and the Holy Spirit falls on his whole family. And then he says, wow, the same gift that was given to us back in Acts 2 falls on Cornelius, then they too can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're baptized in water. Then fast forward to Acts chapter 19, and about 20-ish years after Pentecost, some believers were there, and they had heard about Jesus, then they had heard about the gospel, then Paul came, and he says, "Have you heard about the Holy Spirit?" And they were like, "Holy Spirit, who? Like, huh?" And Paul shared about the Holy Spirit with them, and again, another move of God, and the Holy Spirit fell in that space. We looked last week at all of these different stories in the book of Acts, and really just came to the simple conclusion, just last week, that something happened. If you read the book of Acts, if you read throughout Scripture, and you just read it plainly, you're like, something happened. God fell on a group of people. God fell on people, filling people, and their lives were transformed. Peter, who went from denying Jesus in front of a teenage girl, went to boldly proclaiming the gospel in front of those very people that crucified Jesus. Something significant happened, and it wasn't just on Peter or a few people. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all. Poured out on everybody. Sons and daughters were prophesying. People were dreaming dreams and having visions. And so that's where we started last week. We want to continue the conversation this week. We're just talking about who is the Holy Spirit. And really, as a community, we're in a season, and as we look into this community and out into the world, a season of just, again, being empowered by the Lord to do the work of the Lord. Wanting to be empowered by the Lord to do the work of the Lord. Because we don't want to do anything in our own human striving, our own human mission, but just walk a beautiful step with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a young man, before we get into John 14, years ago, named Samuel Chadwick. Samuel Chadwick was 10 years old. Anybody 10 in this room? Anybody 10 years old? Close. 10 years old. 10 years old. Stand up, say. This is what a 10-year-old looks like. 10 years old. Okay, so get this picture. 10. Perfect. 10 years old, Samuel Chadwick gave his life to Jesus as a 10-year-old. Devoted his life to prayer 3 times a day. Fast forward to 16, he started to preach the gospel wherever he could. Samuel Chadwick, also at a young age, at the age of 10, committed to working 12 hours in a factory. Didn't really go to school much. But here was convicted by the Lord, changed by the Lord. Samuel Chadwick would preach these messages and didn't really see much take place until he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said about the Holy Spirit later in his life. He said this, "I owe everything I have," this quote's up on the screen, "to the gift of Pentecost. For 50 days, the facts of the gospel were complete, but no conversions were recorded. Pentecost registered 3,000 souls. It is by fire that a holy passion is kindled in the soul whereby we live the life of God. The soul's safety is in its heat. Truth without enthusiasm, morality without emotion, ritual without soul make for a church without power." And he said this, "Spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with a love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with fierceness that burns. They rejoice with the joy that radiates. Love is perfected in the fire of God." He got to the point where he's like, "I need, desperately need, my soul to be ablaze by God, to set on fire by the Lord, to have a passion that is stirred from deep within that can only come through the Holy Spirit." And this is what is needed today. This is what is needed today. This is who the church needs to be today, to be a community of people whose souls are deeply set on fire by the Lord. People that are walking in this constant hunger for the Lord, not just in this room and in this space, even though it's great, but as we leave these doors, as we go out into the community, as we interact in the workplace, as we interact at schools, as we interact with our friends in our neighborhood, our souls need to be set on fire by the Holy Spirit in order to testify to the gospel and the good news of Jesus. So I'm going to ask him to share a story. Rick, can you share a story for me? We were talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit did in our lives when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Rick shared something that happened in him that transformed his life that really fits with what Samuel Chadwick had to say.
So it was February 27, 1989. I was raised in a church that we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. It was more God-centered, my Father-centered, I would dare say, than Jesus and maybe a little bit of the Holy Spirit. So my wife and I were just hungry for more, and we were looking for a different church, and we had started going to a church, and we went there a couple of weeks and really liked it, and we went to a small group setting in a home, and it came to be prayer time, and all of a sudden someone started praying in tongues. And we froze, and on the way home, looked at each other and said, "Man, we liked it there so much. Why did this happen? What do we do with this now?" Because we just had nothing in our spiritual background to deal with that. So the next week, we went to a different church, but we really longed to go back there. So we knew a couple from that church that had grew up in the same way that we had. And so we went to their house on a Tuesday night and just asked them to tell their experience, with the Holy Spirit in that way. And they did so, and in such a loving and non-judgmental, condemning way, just a very gentle way. And we just felt really good about it and went home. My wife went to bed. I was staying up and I was praying. And all of a sudden, this incredible joy came over me, hilarious, and it just lasted for a half hour, something like that. And what it wanted me to made me want to do is just run through the neighborhood. This was 10 o'clock at night, knock on people's door and tell them about Jesus. And that was the beginning. Now I must say at that point, I did not speak in tongues, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the only force, the only true God could get that kind of joy and that kind of passion. And I guess I would caution, though, is you can't live on those points of huge outpouring like that. That you have to keep going back to the Word. You have to keep seeking God, that you just can't live on that one time and call it good. Because I've noticed in my own life that at certain points, there would be like outpourings like that, like fillings. And I think if you look through the New Testament too, you know, the apostles obviously were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but you hear times when the room was filled with the Spirit and it shook and different things like that. So that's been my experience to this point.
I appreciate you sharing that. And what I love is that you were filled with so much joy that you just wanted to go out and tell your whole neighborhood about Jesus. Like, that's it. To be so consumed by the Lord, to be like, I have to tell people about Jesus. I have to have these conversations where I can talk to people about the one that I've experienced, the one that I've come to know in Jesus. And so that's my goal. That's our goal here at Restoration Church. Like, when I think about the Holy Spirit, as we look at John 14, people fall into a number of different camps, if you will. Like, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there are those that they're misunderstood. They're uninformed. There's those who are uninformed, like they just have never heard about the Holy Spirit. And it's what Rick was sharing. There's those who are uninformed and like, okay, I've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. It's what happened in Acts 19. There are also those who are misinformed. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, there are those that are misinformed, and they either fall into one or two camps. On one side, being people who believe that the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, stopped when Scripture was done being written, and that the Holy Spirit doesn't move today. And then there are other people on the other side that may be fascinated with the Holy Spirit and so focused on the gifts of the Spirit, the signs and wonders, that they lose the point of the Holy Spirit, and it's all to point to Jesus. See, what I want us to be is a community of people be people that are well-informed. That's the goal. Like, my goal, my life goal has always been to be a part of a community that understands that this is the Word of God. This is the truth of God. But also understand the Spirit of God and to hold both intention, to say, to be a community full of the Word and of the Spirit, to walk in the power of both. And so when it comes to who is the Holy Spirit, let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus. And these are the words of Jesus. He has disciples with him. This is known as the upper room discourse, where the disciples are there with Jesus in the upper room shortly before he goes to the cross. Like, after John chapter 17, Jesus is going to get arrested. He's going to be tried. He's going to be crucified. A lot is about to happen. So he is talking with his disciples, his close friends. And these are his final words, his kind of final instructions. And there's a lot in here in John 13 through 17. He washes the disciples' feet. He tells them to abide in him, that apart from him, they can do nothing. He prays for them. But something that he shares more than anything else in this section, he shares about the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that was to come. This is what he says. He says this in verse 15, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, this is powerful, because if you begin in John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. And then in John 16, he says, you're going to face trouble. You're going to face tribulation. But take heart. Like, I've overcome the world. I have come to give you peace. And in the middle here, he's saying, here's how peace is going to come. Here's how you're going to find peace in the midst of a storm. Here's how you're going to find calmness in the midst of trouble. He says, I will be with you. I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send another helper to be with you forever. And then he says something absolutely mind-blowing. He says, he will dwell with you and will be in you. That's the closeness that he's going to have with you. You think about Jesus, the one who the Spirit fell on when he was baptized. They would have seen that the Spirit fell on Jesus, and they were listening to Jesus' words, and now they're thinking, okay, the same Spirit that fell on you, that empowered you, is now going to be with us, is going to dwell in us. And he uses this word over and over again, helper. Five times, actually, this word helper is found in the New Testament. Four times in this section where Jesus is talking to his closest friends. John 14, verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I've said to you." John 15, verse 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And then finally in John 16, 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." He says this name, this word Helper. Maybe you're looking in your Bible and there's a different translation. There's numerous translations for this word. The NIV or the NLT calls the Helper the advocate, someone who pleads your case on your behalf. The Message Bible says friend. ESV says helper, or there's the word comforter or counselor. But here's the picture that I think is so powerful, is this word really means, as Jesus is communicating this, he's saying, I am sending someone to be near you, to come alongside of you. Think about that. Think about that. When you are in trouble, when there is unrest in your life, when you're not filled with peace, when you are scared in your life, maybe you want answers. Maybe you want clarity to a situation. But what transforms a situation? Go back to maybe when you were a kid and you were alone in your parents' house. And they went out to eat and you're sitting there and you're hearing the creaks of the house and the noises. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? What transforms you in that situation isn't to understand where the cracks and the creaks are coming from. It's somebody to be present with you in that space. I look at this gift that that Jesus says is coming, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what a powerful gift, because in the midst of conflict, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of the chaos in the world, what brings ultimate peace isn't some solution, it's the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need in our world today, what we need in our lives today, is not just a picture of this or that. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. We need God with us. And that's who He is. Emmanuel, God with us. He talks about Jesus. That's his character. The very nature of God's character is to be with us, is to come close to us. I remember hearing advice from a pastor years ago, a mentor friend of mine. Later in his life, he got sick and got ALS and eventually passed away. But he said for so many years, as a pastor, I'd come into a situation and I would want to care for people. And I would want to take care of people, and I'd be there when they were sick. I'd be there when they were going through hard times, and I was always worried, what am I going to say? What am I going to do in those situations? But he said, now being in this situation, being stricken with a disease that will most likely take my life, he said this, I've realized the power of two things, showing up and shutting up. And I absolutely love that. Because even as a community that longs to care for people, a community that longs to walk with people, we so often think that we have to come up with the right words, we have to come up with the right solutions, but that is so powerful, show up and shut up. And I believe that is what the Lord demonstrates over and over and over again in our lives. He just shows up, He is with us, and that solves so much. It's the power of presence. Jesus saying, hey, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come. Are we so thankful that we have a God who comes to us? Are we so thankful, Window, that we have a God who comes to us this week and says, I love you, I see you, I've redeemed you, I've purchased you with the blood of my son, Jesus? We all can share a story about how God has come to us, and this transforms everything. But look at who is the Holy Spirit. There's so much we're going to look at next week about the role of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to just state something simple. And then you're going to be like, that's so simple, but it's absolutely foundational and so important. Turn to John 16, and we'll wrap. Again, the words of Jesus. He said this in John 16, verse 4. He says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now, I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Over and over again, if you read Scripture, if there's a word that pops out that is just as repeated, you got to pay attention to it. Here, Jesus keeps saying the word he. He uses a personal pronoun. He, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you the things that are to come. And here is the truth about who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a power, not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, even as I say that, you might think, like, well, it's a human being. No, he's not a human being. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. I remember learning this 20 plus years ago. Worked with a guy who, super pastoral, super caring. He would be one who would go to the hospital and just tears would flood down his cheeks, and it wasn't a show or anything like that. Man, he was like caring for people. And I remember talking about the Holy Spirit, and I said something that offended him. I referred to the Holy Spirit as it. And I saw him get so upset. He stood up and he goes, "The Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a he." And I'm like, oh, it's a person. And from that very moment, my eyes were open, and I'm like, wow, the Holy Spirit is one who I can be in relationship with. The Holy Spirit is one who wants to walk with me and is personal, deeply personal, searches my heart and knows my heart and searches the heart of God and connects it to me. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians 4, verse 30, he grieves when we walk in disobedience. He grieves when there's conflict. He grieves when there's jealousy. He grieves when there is sin. The Holy Spirit, there's so many different characteristics of who the Holy Spirit is. He walks with people. There's the beautiful command to walk in step with the Spirit in Galatians 5. He has a will. He knows us and he prays for us. And here's the thing that I want us just to learn today. And to really not just learn in our heads, but live out this week. The Holy Spirit longs to have a relationship. See, we think about God the Father who loves us. Think about Jesus the Son who loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. Loves you and wants to walk with you. See, the beautiful thing about the Word is the Word will say to us, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will show us how to love our neighbor. Will give us words, will give us thoughts, will give us direction in what our neighbor needs. And we'll talk about that more in the upcoming weeks. But here's I want to land the plane this morning. It's again getting to a place where we want to just walk in the beautiful relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you walking today in relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance in each and every situation? In Acts 8, there's a man named Philip again. We know that to share the gospel. It says the Holy Spirit told them to go over to this chariot and share the gospel with the Ethiopian. I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as the Holy Spirit gave direction to Philip, the Holy Spirit wants to give us direction today. But maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, I've just been spiritually dry. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to awaken the dry bones in your life, to rekindle in your heart desire to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I believe that there's some that it wasn't intentional, but you've just neglected to obey the Holy Spirit. You just haven't been paying attention to the Holy Spirit as much. And I believe the Lord wants to breathe life into you again, reawaken a desire for you to simply walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask Rebecca and the team to come up. We just want to pray into that just a little bit as we wrap up. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. this is a bold thing to respond and be honest. But I want to encourage you to do that, to be honest. We're in a room of people that love one another. Maybe you're here this morning and you just have felt dry for a long time. It's kind of that picture in Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel sees the valley of dry bones. The Lord tells Ezekiel, prophesy over the bones, that they would come alive. Maybe you've just felt yourself dry for a while. And I believe the Lord wants to blow His life into you, to breathe His Spirit again into your life, to awaken you. So if you're here this morning and you just felt a little dry, would you just raise up your hand? Just raise up your hand. Those around these people, I'm not going to ask you to move right now. Just extend a hand towards them. Holy Spirit, would you awaken these dry bones? These people that at one time had a passion, a desire, and a hunger. I believe that still exists, but that has just been squished down by the busyness of life, the cares of this world. There's so much stuff that's going on. God, would you awaken them this morning? Holy Spirit, would you breathe life into them? Would you cause those dry bones to come alive in Jesus' name? Would you stir up in them a deeper hunger for your word, a deeper hunger to know you, a deeper hunger to have conversations with you? Stir up them in a deeper affection for you, God. We just command these bones to wake up in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, breathe your life into them. All for your glory. I also want to pray for those who would want to be filled with peace this morning. Just as we're praying this morning, just that picture of peace. Jesus said, I don't give peace as the world gives. I give it differently. I give my peace, which is His presence. So maybe you're here this morning and there's just unrest in your soul, unrest in your mind. If that's you, I just slip up a hand. I'd love to pray. Just peace over your life. God, those hands that are up, these people that are here this morning, lives are filled with chaos. The minds are filled with chaos. Just speak peace into their lives. Peace into their thoughts. Peace into their hearts. Command anxiety to be gone in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill them with everything that comes from you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Fill them with all that they need. And frankly, Holy Spirit, would you fill this room with your peace? And God, would you give us just a greater desire, greater hunger for the glory of your name, greater hunger to walk and step with you, greater hunger to seek your presence in each and every situation. Greater awareness to what you are doing, Holy Spirit. It's all for the glory of Jesus.